I believe that in that group right now, obviously the best thing is we've got Cole back in the fold with things, right? He's practicing all those reps that he missed from his injury. Now we're starting to make headway in that way, if that makes sense. So just feeling the game, getting back in the game, knocking the rust off, all those things that we know will come along with coming back into practice. We're seeing, and we are seeing, he's doing a nice job progressing.
It is Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich there.
Cole Bishop.
Yes.
Cole Bishop.
The man of the hour tonight.
It's been the man of the past
three months.
Yeah, even more than that.
Yeah, Cole Bishop is going to be one of the guys to watch tonight. He's going to be one of the expected starters, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Like, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
not many starters playing tonight, but Bishop is going to be one of them.
He'll play a couple series at least, I would think.
Allen will not be one of those starters for the first time in his career. He's not playing the preseason, but preseason game number three tonight, Tampa Bay at 7:30. Pregame coverage starts at 2 with Derek and Zach right after us here. So stay tuned here all day long for all your Bills talk, all your Bills updates. By the way, real quick, before we get back into the Bills defense, college football.
We're here.
We're back.
Look at Iowa State come onto the field.
Iowa State and Kansas State currently running onto the field in Dublin, Ireland. I just saw a thing flash on the screen. I had to look up if this was true. The last time that Kansas State has played out of the United States of America.
You're asking me this question?
Just throw some, like, when was it and where was it? Just throw it out there. It is insane where this game was played.
I'm going to go with in, like, 88, they went to, like, where would they go? Not South America. I'll say in 88, they went to, I'm going to go Poland.
Ooh, wow. That's a dart at the dartboard. No.
Well, you made it seem pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy. Tokyo, Japan.
All right. That's crazy. As soon as I heard you say opposite, I was like, okay, this is somewhere in Asia.
Yeah.
Okay.
In 1992, Nebraska and Kansas State played in Tokyo, Japan.
What?
In December 5th of 1992. Nebraska wins 38-24. That's the last time that the Kansas State football team has been out of the country to play a college football game.
Why were they there? I am now going to be obsessed with this.
It was the Coca-Cola Bowl, apparently. Yeah.
Wow. What?
Nebraska started out with a 21-0 lead in that game. So not a good game for Kansas
State. Looks like they played it on a baseball diamond that they turned into a football field.
The Tokyo Dome. So, yeah.
That's really interesting.
Interesting bit of history. And not even in the preseason part of it. Not even in week zero, or if there was a week zero back then.
That's new.
You know, so, but hey, Farmageddon, as they call it, is getting going over in Ireland right now. So, football back underway. We are that much closer to NFL football being back underway. Bills regular season starts in 15 days.
And we're that much closer to finding out who the second Bills starting safety is.
That is true. So, Bills defense, that's where we're headed here. The safety duo of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer long gone at this point. Ugh, now we are...
Take me back.
Yeah, right. We didn't know how good we had it until it is gone. Now, again, no discredit here to these players now, but Hyde and Poyer were the best safety tandem in the NFL for 3 years.
They were unbelievable.
Right. They were the reason
why
your secondary...
Pro Bowls, all pros, all of it.
Yes.
They made plays. That duo helped... Before Josh was even here, change what the Bills were and who the Bills were.
Yep.
Along with McDermott and Bean, it was those two. And so I think that probably plays into a little bit of why fans here care so deeply about that position and analyze that position so much is we've been conditioned to watch elite play from back there. And the coach talks about the importance of that position and how effective those players can be. And I think having what they've had the last – since those two guys have been gone, it's been a concern for fans. And so – and Cole Bishop has not made that go away.
Right. With the injuries and when he is on the field, the lack of – just anything, really.
Anything.
It's tough because you didn't see him at all in training camp last year, and then in this year's training camp, he was in and out with injuries. And and now it's you're kind of expecting him to be the starter alongside Taylor Rapp.
They are certainly trying everything they can to force him into that role and to make sure he has every opportunity to have that role. Because they did not bring anybody in that was really going to compete. Derek Forrest is where? What? Who's heard Derek Forrest's name?
If we're looking at depth charts here, I have on ESPN's website Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop listed as the first two safeties. Then you have Cam Lewis and Damar Hamlin. Then you have Derek Forrest and Wande Owens, and then Zay Alexander, who the Bills just picked up this past week.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's far down that depth chart.
Yeah, right.
He was not competing with Bishop.
No. I mean, maybe he was thought of as a backup, but
sure.
He's
but they knew they wanted to improve on Hamlin, and they knew that they didn't know truly what Bishop was. And there's still nobody there to compete with Bishop for that spot, truly.
Right.
He's competing with Damar because he's been...
He's competing with himself.
Exactly.
Realistically.
I'm saying. He's struggled enough that Damar is a real idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I think the team acknowledged and knew we need to improve there.
Right.
And they didn't. Not yet. We haven't seen Bishop show that that's an improvement. So I think people are going to be worried about it.
It's tough because when he's coming out of Utah, you're looking at all of these people saying, "Oh, he's great. He's just this athletic freak, and he's really good, right? Like he'll be good in this Bills defense as soon as they get him integrated into it." And a Bills defense that has often been talked about as one of the most difficult ones to
learn
which probably plays a part into this,
of
right?
Of course.
I mean,
we've
seen. Again, to go back to Hyde and Poyer, they both came in as veterans in the NFL, and it took years for them to get to where they were.
Right.
And
they were both kind of scrap heap guys.
Right. If that's what it takes for Rapp and Bishop, or Bishop and whoever, or Rapp and whoever, then this is going to just take time.
Right.
But at the same time...
Do we have time?
You don't.
For that?
Right, exactly. So that's where it kind of leads into this whole big discussion in the defense of... You had those years where you had Hyde and Poyer, and even to go with the rest of the secondary with Tre'Davious White, Taron Johnson, those guys. They all made that secondary so good that it was never a worry. Never a concern.
About it.
But now, after years of trying to add to the defensive line, to give that secondary a little bit of cushion, give them a break every once in a while. Hey, we sacked the quarterback. You don't have to worry about anything here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that's been put in that defensive line hasn't worked out exactly the way they've expected.
Right.
Greg Rousseau's good, but he hasn't ascended to that next level yet. Ed Oliver has not recreated what he did a few years ago when he got that big contract extension. And Von Miller was, unfortunately,
kind of a bumpy ride.
It was
a bumpy ride.
That's a good way to put it. It wasn't necessarily a dud, but it wasn't necessarily what you expected.
Right.
So you spend all those years building that up, and then that secondary, the age, Father Time is undefeated and creeps in, and all of a sudden it's, oh, we don't have what we thought we had at the secondary.
Right.
Yeah, you have Christian Benford, and
who's
you still
awesome.
Have, and you still have Taron Johnson.
Who is awesome.
Right. Other than
but
that.
You're hurting elsewhere. I mean, White has looked good, and good for him.
But he's hurt.
But he's, right. We don't know what that means.
Well, we don't know how hurt
We don't
he
know
is.
How right. hurt that is, how long that could be. And
Max Harrison's hurt.
And how quick can he get back up to speed?
Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of questions.
And there's the D-line that is
still
improved,
suspect.
But you don't know. I mean, it's draft picks.
It's
Sanders. It's Walker. It's Jackson. And Bosa's good, but will he be healthy?
Right.
There's question marks all over.
Right. And we don't want to sound panicky.
Doomer.
Here.
But
at the same time, you look at... Last year, the Bills' defensive line, they were 18th in the NFL in sacks with 39. It's your middle of the ground.
Right.
With the amount of money you have invested in that defense, that's where it gets me, is the amount of money and time you've invested into that. You should be better than 18th. You should be top 10. You should be improving year over year, whereas one guy's good, one guy's bad, and that's kind of how it's been for the past couple years. You're flip-flopping back and forth. And again, you come into this season where it's you have – a bunch of question marks in the secondary. If Tre'Davious White is healthy, what is he at this point?
Right.
If Rapp and Bishop aren't
solid.
Solid. They need that chemistry. That was the one thing that Hyde and Poyer also had.
Time
was
on
the
task.
Chemistry.
Right? So, time on task. McDermott talks about it all the time.
Right.
And they don't have enough of that. Or maybe they do, and we just don't know yet. But it's a concern. Mm-hmm. It's something that he's concerned
it's
about.
It's enough of a concern that the coach is talking about it consistently.
And he's playing him tonight.
Right.
Probably, I would imagine.
And with Bishop tonight, the less you see of him, the better. If he plays, you know, three series and he has a couple pass breakups and maybe a few good tackles, then okay, great.
Oh, great.
That's what you need.
Right.
But if he's playing the first half,
and
if he's playing
looking iffy
into the third quarter,
then what are they? Are they trying to make a decision on who it's going
to
be?
Because if it's, I don't think it'll get to the third quarter. I think at the most, even if it's bad, he'll play the first half.
Right.
But
no, I don't. Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to play
into the
anywhere more. I wouldn't expect him to play more than 50% of the game at
right.
all.
But that's but my point is if you do see up to that, that's
right.
that's where it's the red flag goes up. So 803-0550. Questions on the safeties here. We're talking safeties, defensive line. We will get back to the offense a little bit, too. We're going to get connected with our fans here. Once again, we're going to go Rob out in Connecticut. Rob, how's it going?
Good morning, Josh. You know what? And, Owen, it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you because you're always, you know, go pay attention to the man behind the curtain. You know, you're always behind the scenes. I enjoy listening to you guys all the time. Josh knows that. Great job. It's nice to have a couple different people on the radio today, even though I enjoy everybody that comes on. And Owen, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I'm sure you've been told this. There's some similarities the way you present things. Sounds like your father, you know, it's awesome.
Well, I appreciate that. That's a great compliment. Yeah. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, no, it's funny. As a matter of fact, for the booty cheek of the week, he kind of went off a little tangent, and I was like, that's so bulldog right there.
Yeah. You know? I can feel him every once in a while.
He's awesome. He really is. And, you know, you guys are talking about that. That's one of my main concerns, like the safety position. You know, of course I want Cole Bishop to step up and everything, but I'm really excited about the defense this year. I just want to get this preseason out of the way. Let's get to the regular season and see what the Bills are really all about. I'm high up on expectations with this kid Sanders and Walker. I think they're gonna, you know, do what they have to do. I'm just really excited in general, but my main concern is the secondary. I don't want to get beat on those third downs. You know, that's what always
right.
killed us last year. And you know, other than that, I mean, it's great. Also, I'm going to give a little shout out. I am in Connecticut. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to the Little League World Series, but I do live in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Oh, nice.
I saw that they were in that yesterday. That's yeah. awesome. They play tonight, right?
Yeah, they're playing at 3:30 today, and the ball field's only like a hop, skip, and a jump. It's like in my backyard pretty much. So,
awesome.
Wow. That's
go
awesome.
Fairfield, Connecticut in the Little League World Series. So always a pleasure. I'm glad I got to catch up with Owen. Always want to talk to A and stay away from that sniffing salt, by the way.
Not since my playing days, Rob. Don't worry. I'm staying off
it.
those smelling salts. I'll get you.
You were huffing hard back in those days.
I was maybe not the most responsible in my playing days with my smelling salt usage.
thanks for the call, Rob. Always appreciate it. And now we all have something to root for. I love the Little League World Series. And
now
hey,
we got a reason.
We can all root for Rob's Connecticut team there. That's awesome. I didn't realize that was, you know, I never put two and two together there.
Very
but
cool.
Little League World Series is on this afternoon if you're into that stuff. The finals tomorrow. But to get back to what Rob's talking about there with TJ Sanders, I really like TJ Sanders coming out of the draft.
Agreed.
And I think he's one of those guys that this year with the Bills defense and the defensive line, he's someone that I feel like can just kind of hang out under the radar, and then all of a sudden, there he is.
Right. I like your point, Rob, because I am concerned about the safeties as well. But what can really kind of neutralize that, and this is a cliche, you hear it all the time, but if that D-line becomes a problem for teams, like if they can't block the combination and the rotation of that D-line with all those young guys, with Bosa if he can stay healthy, with all of that, That will make the safeties' jobs far easier. The whole secondary as a whole. Mm-hmm. You always hear that, but it's true. It's obvious. It's if the quarterback doesn't have time to look at where he's trying to throw the ball, the corners and the safeties don't have to cover as long.
Right.
It's a simple fact. It's cause and effect, right?
And the linebackers play into that too. Let's not forget Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, and Dorian Williams, Joe Andreessen.
Having those two healthy will really help in those sort of short yardage, low throws. And all of that, you would hope, and I'm sure this is what the Bills are hoping, will cover up maybe the blemishes of that secondary. Whether it was, even when they drafted Hairston, was it, well, we can hope that, or we believe our D-line will be strong enough that Hairston's learning curve and process will be negated by the fact that we've got a more dominant pass rush. And that can help Hairston get comfortable and learn more quickly and not have his mistakes matter as harshly. Mm-hmm. And the same applies to Trey White. Can Trey White, it's a different kind of problem that he faces, but if Trey White's struggling to cover because he's older, it's late in his career, it's how it goes for these guys.
Right.
They're explosive athletes, and he's getting up there. He's had big injuries.
But
he's hurt again now.
But the mental never goes away.
Exactly. So he's going to have a different set of mistakes, but nonetheless, can they be covered by the D-line pressuring quarterbacks, mm-hmm. taking away passing lanes, making the quarterback think too much?
Right.
And that is all, hopefully, the thing that can help neutralize the concern that I think is shared across the fan base and assuredly inside the building.
Right. And looking at the defensive line, too, the way you brought up, you know, the mix of old guys, young guys, Joey Bosa, Ed Oliver,
right.
and then TJ Sanders as well. Like, it's not going to be nearly – well, I don't want to say nearly. It's not going to be as good as the Eagles' defensive line rotation that they've had for years now.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That'd be amazing. But if that's what they can recreate sort of in a – like if they can be Eagles light, if you want to call it that, or whatever, that's a defensive line that you can just every team in the NFL should try to replicate.
Lean on, yeah.
And that's something that you can beat teams with day in and day out. Because if you have a defensive line that, okay, I have Greg Rousseau and Ed Oliver coming at me, and oh, well, now they're off the field. Oh, well, now Joey Bosa is on the field, right. and AJ Epenesa is there.
And Landon Jackson.
Landon Jackson and TJ Sanders. If you can just like create this rotation where the other team doesn't know what's coming, that's, I feel like, what...
That's powerful.
It's powerful. And it's honestly, you know, I mean, a little self-explanatory, but it's what every team should try to create.
Sure.
And if the Bills are trying to do that with what they've been trying to do over the course of these years, drafting all these defensive linemen, then that's fine. But you don't have much to show for it right now.
No.
You have middling sack numbers, you have inconsistency from the guys that you've already paid.
Right.
And the thing that's covered you up for years now has been your secondary, but it's got
to... That is becoming a question.
Right. It's got to reverse itself now. And, you know, I'm looking, again, at a guy like TJ Sanders. Last year for... Where did TJ Sanders play? South Carolina. Last year for South Carolina, he had 13 games, 9 starts, 4 sacks, 7 tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
He's a good player. It's a piece.
Yeah.
It's very similar in my mind to the weapons on offense.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got weapons on offense with multiple skill sets or wide ranging skill sets, you force defenses to consider how they choose to cover you because you can do different things.
Mm-hmm.
The same applies to the D line. If you've got different skill sets, different guys that bring different things, that you know with different combinations, you can exploit different styles of offensive line blocking schemes and run attacks and all of that. The more wide-ranging that your guys can be comfortable, sort of the more wide-ranging schemes and skills that your guys are comfortable running provides your defensive coordinator and Bobby Babich and your head coach and Sean McDermott with more options to throw new wrinkles in and to find new ways to stop whoever, the Ravens on game one or the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. You want to have tools in the toolbox. And this D-line has a lot of tools in the toolbox. You've got Bosa, you've got Sanders, you've got Walker, you've got Jackson, you've got Epinesa. Like, these are all players that have merit and do different things well, and they're well-rounded. And so that opportunity that Babich and McDermott now have, I think, is different than it's been in the past. Mm-hmm. Because they've always had a strong rotation, but I think this is a young, highly skilled rotation that had a lot of resources poured into it. And so it will be front of mind for the coach. It should be. And it will be front of mind for the GM, because it's what he focused on all offseason. Mm-hmm. And so I am excited to hopefully see that D-line switch the script like you're talking about and become dominant and be able to cover up for maybe some of those struggles that secondary will probably run into.
Let's get connected to our fans once again, and as always, that is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Steve in Columbus. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me, and I don't know if you caught the Bills squad show the other night, which is excellent, when they had Ben Solak on, mm-hmm. and he gave a lot of insight from his visit back in early August with the Bills, and he gave a great explanation about the whole everything East and how that emerged, which was very telling. But it was the defensive comments he made and Jerry Ostrowski and Joe Marino's response of, like, Greg Rousseau's been here 4 or 5 years now, and he's just learning how to address, if a tight end is coming. So to me, this gets a much bigger issue. McDermott is a very good coach. He's probably an excellent defensive back coach. But his locked-in philosophy and his inability to use all his tools as they're made is really a hindrance. And what I mean by that is Bean is excellent at finding talent that fits what McDermott wants. You know, he finds Poyer and Hyde, and they're experienced players, and they can adjust to what's going on, and they thrive. But he really does not develop good talent. If they find someone, they flash in their first year. It's not because they get coached up. It's because they have the talent that can excel in the style. Christian Bedford, Matt Milano, any of these guys who show some sign, Terrell Bernard, even Dorian Williams. But the only whiffs that Bean has really had is probably like Boogie Basham. He gets players that McDermott wants to execute a defense the way McDermott wants. And it's a waste. I feel it's a huge waste. You know, on the offensive side, we haven't seen that. They brought in Aaron Cromer, and he's taken, you know, low-level guys, unrestricted free agents, and turning them into solid players. He's taking unknown third-round players like Brown, Green, you know, these free agents they bring in, and they're solid starters, and they work well together because they coach them up. And I just feel like McDermott doesn't do that. And Solak's comments are really telling to that point. And if you think about it, what he wants, McDermott, his mindset is he wants people who do what he wants the way he wants. That's why you see A.J. Epinesa and Jackson and Hamlin coming back. You see them recycling Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson and those guys. When he brings in other guys with talent and they leave, you know, I'm not saying these guys are all-stars, but like Puna Ford and Tim Settle are good players. They come to the Bills, they're kind of invisible, and then they go to other teams and they really accelerate. And so I feel like they missed a huge opportunity with Von Miller. He had injuries, and that was sad, but I think Von actually taught some of these young guys things to do. They're only going to have Joey Bosa 1 year, so who knows how much he'll be able to share knowledge. I'm encouraged by this defensive line coach they brought in because he actually is having them do something different. But that's where the energy has been put, the resources have been put, but the coaching has not been there. And I blame that on McDermott. It's only now that he brought in a different defensive line coach who's actually coaching these guys upright. So that I share the concerns about the lack of development in the backfield and the safety position, but that's because McDermott isn't there to coach them as the defensive backs coach appropriately. So we can't say, oh, he's a great defensive backs coach. He was. He's a head coach now. He's not running the defensive back room. He's not working with the safeties. He did that before in his career, and he was awesome at it, but he's not doing that now. So if we just fix the front line, we get some rush, we use these guys appropriately, then it's less of a concern what's going on back there, and those guys will develop for time. I think Owen said that he's got a lot of tools in his toolbox. The problem is he treats them all like the same tool. He treats them all like a hammer, but some of them are jigsaws, some of them are bud saws, some of them are screwdrivers. And I'll just leave it at that, though. So I think, you know, I think Solak's comments were great. You should go listen to it.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think you touched quickly on a point in there about the new – he's not the defensive line coach. He's a senior defensive assistant, but Ryan Nielsen was brought in. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is a major factor in this. I think that he is likely going to be working with that D-line heavily, and I think that we might see some more high-level development from that D-line group.
Yeah, we'll get more into that as we come back. We got to take a quick time out here. Steve, thanks again for the call. This is Sports Talk Saturday, and you're listening to WGR.